Hi there. My name is Teresa Anderson, and I'm an intuitive spiritual guide and teacher. And I am so excited. Today I have a guest that's going to be with me, and this is our deeper discussion style of podcast. And what happens here is it's an opportunity to take some subjects and themes and to go a little deeper. And I'm excited because one of the things that I love to talk about is intuition. And I have with me as my guest my friend Marnie. And she is a like-minded person on this journey, and she also is into health and wellness. And I'd like to welcome Marnie. If you could just say a little bit about yourself, that'd be great.
Hi, Teresa. Thanks so much for having me on. My name is Marnie Bosman. My background is a massage therapist and a kinesiologist. And I worked in the physio clinic for years and years and have had my own private practice. And I'm also an energy healer and teacher. Currently teach online classes, have a private practice, and working on a social media platform.
That's very exciting. You'll have to tell us how everybody can get a hold of you and find you. And Marnie is really great at what she does. So I'm excited that she's here today. And when we got thinking of putting this together, we got wondering, okay, well, how it's such a vast, rich topic, intuition. So how is it that we can both offer things to people that have already been studying a bit about intuition, people that may be brand new to the idea of intuition? And so we thought we're just going to start at the beginning. Kind of heading that we thought about is intuition, how to cultivate it into your own life. What is a definition of intuition? And maybe we'll start first with, we were thinking, okay, we get asked this a lot. Is everybody intuitive? So what do you think about that, Marnie?
I absolutely think everybody is intuitive, but I also think it's a little bit like painting. Everybody can paint a picture. Some people are naturally born with the ability to be a Rembrandt, and other people are more sort of stick men. But with practice and with tuning, everybody can learn to be a better painter or a better intuitive. And so really, it's all about practice and listening. And I also teach hula hooping lessons, Teresa, and I always say to the women that come to my hula hooping, you only look hot and sexy after you've done the move 1,000 times. And I actually think intuition is the same thing. You only get really good at it once you've practiced it about 1,000 times.
I agree.
How about you?
Yeah, I do. I think absolutely everybody's intuitive. I think it's kind of funny sometimes when I hear people look to other people outside of themselves and go, oh, that person's really intuitive. I wished I was more like that. And when you kind of put that onto someone else, bring back that gold, because everybody's intuitive. And we do have, it's a skill set, and you do have to kind of really work it. And when I first got going on intuition, like I started to learn about, okay, well, animals, you hear about that, you know, horrible tsunami that happened 15 years ago, I think it was in and around that time, and they moved to higher ground, and their intuition kicked in, and it was way before people were paying attention to what was coming at them, literally the tsunami. So we can really remember there's times in our life when we have been extremely intuitive, and we have welcomed that intuition, as in we had a gut reaction, and then we totally went with it. But I would say for people, whether you're kind of already learning about intuition or you're brand new to it, that absolutely it's for everybody. Don't ever believe if someone says it's only for X, Y, and Z and it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to all of us. And the benefits are huge, because there's this wise inner piece of ourselves that wants to communicate. And I think the more that you practice, the more that the universe is going to say, hot diggity dog, we have a live one here. And then you start to get more of these hits and nudges. And I think that the next piece of where I really started to connect more is around when I got to start to define for myself what intuition is for me. But I wonder what it is for you.
So my definition of intuition would be, I think, alignment. When you are aligned with your inner being, aligned with who you truly are, with your authenticity, that is where intuition hits you best. I believe that the frequency that you put out into the world is the frequency that you get back. And so we're always receiving from somewhere. This beautiful brain of ours is the most incredible processing unit that sends out and receives frequency back. And so if you're in a fearful or a worried state, then the stuff that you receive back is along that same frequency. But intuition always feels like sort of an aha moment, right? Mm-hmm. Oprah's aha moments where you're just like, oh yeah, right. Or, you know, I've been in a car where all of a sudden I hear really clearly, move, and I go forward and I just miss an accident, mm-hmm. right? And so to me, that is alignment with my inner being, with a higher source, with, you know, God, the universe, whatever it is that you call it, but that alignment within me allows me to receive messages in a really, really clear way and be nudged and guided along my path. So I think intuition and alignment and guidance are all very much the three different words that are about the same thing for me.
Okay, and building upon that, so I would say that I had this visual while you were talking about a tuning fork. So I would encourage everyone who's listening to really take a moment and get into present time, because I feel like there's certain things that really help to bring into it intuition. So it's presence. So, you know, if you're off in the past fondling ideas, no, get back into present time. And I feel, again, like you do, it's you need all three parts, your head, your heart, and your body in alignment. And relaxation is such a key. So if you have a clenched head, so to speak, and your body is clenched, it's hard to be relaxed, but that's the state that you kind of need to be in order to really welcome in and be that tuning fork, the receiver of all of that. And for me, my definition is around, I just have this sense of knowing. And it's not based on logic or reasoning. And it comes to me, and sometimes it'll come like whoosh, like that. It can be really fast. Also, it can come in like whispers and nudges and little bits of inspiration. So I'm curious now that we have these kind of, you know, definitions that hopefully will help anchor people and get them grounded into that idea of intuition. What is it that you would say are your, say, top three things that you would really, you know, what, like your best kind of jewels to help people?
Right. One of the things that I send people away from my private practice with is something that I actually think is quite fun, because we all have to go grocery shopping, and produce has, for me, sparkle. You know, people, intuition can happen as a visual thing, as an auditory thing, as a feeling, as a knowing, like even mm-hmm. as a smell, right? That we have different ways of interpreting it. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's very visual. And so I will go stand in front of a pile of cantaloupes at the grocery store, and I'll close my eyes, and I'll see in my field, in my inner field, what's sparkling. And then I'll open up my eyes and have a look at the cantaloupes and pick the one that feels the most sparkly to me. And so it's one of the things that I send my clients away with is when you go grocery shopping and you're produce shopping, stand there and see which of the produce is sparkling the most at you. And it's a really fun thing to do. And they inevitably come back to me and be like, oh my God, like seriously, one apple sparkles more than the other. I'm like, I know. So that's one that I do a lot. The other one is watching for signs in your environment. So there's a couple of books, one about what numbers mean. There's a spirit animal book about what animals mean. And so when a butterfly flies by, and to you, a butterfly always signifies that your grandma is visiting you, then I always think of that as a cell phone ring. And then stop, have a look around your environment, and see if there's any other messages, or if you're in your car and a song comes on the radio and it totally reminds you of your brother who has passed away, then have a look around your environment and see what else, or listen to the words of the song and see what they're telling you. Because most people get a little spark of intuition or a little spark of knowing that their guide is around, and then they take their frequency down into sadness. Like they'll be like, oh, there's my brother's song, but oh man, he's dead. but his frequency is way up here. And so if you stay up here, you have all of this access to the message that he's trying to send to you. And for me, when people have passed away, they're on this liquid love frequency, and our ability to stay in love and happiness and joyfulness and expectation really helps us to be able to assimilate and learn a new language, which is much more subtle and much more energetic. So I think that's my second one, is really pay attention to the cues in your environment. And then once those cues have hit you, stay focused on, okay, you know, what else do you have to say to me, or what else do you have to tell me? Third one would be a breathing pattern that I do all the time. It's called spinal breathing, and it's moving a breath up and down your spine and through your head, because our nervous system is such a sensitive, amazing system, and it knows what's right for us long before our conscious brain does. And so when I am trying to make decisions about things or trying to suss my way out, I use this spinal breathing to see if things feel good to me. And I'm happy at the end of this, we're both gonna do a little bit of a practical thing, and I'll teach you guys how to spinal breathe. But I think that those would be my top three: picking vegetables, watching your environment, and using a breath pattern.
I think that's awesome. It so like resonates with me deeply. And I've had people that have had people pass away. Obviously, everybody experiences that sooner or later. And just being open and curious, because I think too that with intuition, it's like if we want a sign and we get a sign, some people get a little spooked by that, and then they kind of, you know, shut down that opening to being receiving. And also sometimes I think if people are wanting guidance, they get guidance. But if it's not the guidance they're looking for, they go, I didn't get guidance.
Totally.
Right?
To me, and then I ignore him, and he's always like, you're so stubborn. I don't want anyone telling me what to do, even dead guys.
Yeah, that's right? What's funny. I mean, we could have a whole topic about the spiritual pieces and accessing that. I love that. So there's so many different things that we can explore. I love it. And when I was thinking about when I started to really consciously work on developing my intuition, I think that's the key word, conscious. Like you set an intention. And when you set an intention, it's almost like it's an invitation to be more receptive. And I also feel that if you are frustrated, and this might be a little later on once you start experimenting, feeling more comfortable, or if you're already comfortable with your intuition, it's when you are faced with a difficult situation. I find that first thing in the morning, I haven't been woken up by alarm, I just wake up, but that's my body really relaxed. I just come out of that dreamy space where everything has been kind of revitalized and I'm very calm and relaxed. So I might bring up the idea of how's my day looking going forward. So I might do a mental review of what's maybe coming up, and then I'll kind of look, oh, is any piece of this day looking stressful, or is there something frustrating or challenging? Then I'll ask myself, that wise self, the intuition, how can I troubleshoot this if I should need it? Not front loading so that something happens that's negative, but if I get into the situation, what today can I have an open heart about so that I'm seeing a new idea or perspective, new possibility, so I'm more open? And then when I get a little something that comes out of the blue, you know, maybe using that. So it's not the old pattern of being stuck. And so there's kind of a loosening. The other thing that really I love, if it's number two for me, I like, even while I'm still in bed sometimes, I will do what I call the three morning pages. And if there's something that's on my mind, what you do is you don't leave the bed, you have your journal there, you write and you don't edit. And then once that is done, you'll be surprised. It's like getting the sludge out when you go to the cabin, you open up the faucet for the first time, all the sludge comes out. And you'd be surprised at what your wise self can give you for information about how to proceed in your day. It's funny what kind of floats out of there. And two, if you are journaling just in general about a frustrating thing in your daytime, you want some more intuition. What really works is when you journal and you do it with your non-dominant hand, because it's not the one that is the easy one to deal with, but it's almost like that essence that lies within us, that it takes longer, like a small child trying to write. So they economize, like that piece of us economizes and uses less words, but it's profound. And you go, wow, where did that come from? So that would be another one that I would say. And then for me, because I've been at this for a long time, I really love dream time. And when I go to bed at night, I will write something out, like a question. I'll put it under my pillow and ask, because I do dream work, so I keep getting dreams, and see what symbols or what comes up in the dream that I can work with that can help to. It's a form of intuition. So when you were talking about, you know, picking out things in the grocery store, I feel like every one of us, if we began to track, there are themes and patterns. Like when I see a unicorn and I see it again, hello, that's when I'm on track for myself. And for me physically, I would say, when you're beginning, look for your gut reaction. So start to read a room. We all do it, but I mean, think that you're doing, like, own it. And you might go, oh, I'm reading the room, and what am I picking up on? And then check it out, experiment a bit, and you'd be surprised at how you're reading other people. Other people are reading you, and they're not conscious of it. But those are all forms of intuition. And then experiment with things that are small, not big risks. Like, oh, I got an intuitive hit that I should not eat those 14 donuts that I bought. So your intuition speaking to you, but can you pick up what it's putting down? And it could make your life easier if you made a small change versus forget the supersizing of intuition. Like, just, you know, try an experiment. So those are some of the things I was thinking of. And I'm excited to hear about your spiral breathing, because I haven't had the luxury of learning that yet from you. So I'm excited.
I love those. And the other thing is, when, for me, when things show up in sets of three, right? Like if I all of a sudden turn on the radio and they're talking about elephants in Africa, and then I go out and somebody's got a sticker of an elephant on their car, and then I walk back in and flip on my, you know, get onto Facebook, and then there's a story about elephants, then I'm like, okay, and I go grab my spirit animal book. And I, because when things talk to me in threes, you know, by the third time, I'm just like, okay, I'm listening, right? I've got that. So I don't know if that happens.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. I totally pay attention to numbers. And when I have a dream and it's about numbers, it's amazing. And I will totally pay attention. So I agree with you. Intuition is around, like, there's so much that we could be picking up on, but we have to give ourselves permission. And I think that's part of it too.
Absolutely. And, you know, we have such a vast energy bubble that sits around us. Like, if it's healthy and going really well, it goes out past your outstretched hands. Like, that's how big your energy bubble is. And so really, like when you talked about reading a room, I really love that, because that's how I go to parties or dance. Well, you know, not this year, but that's how I used to go to parties and dances, is I walk in and I stand there and I look around and see who is the happiest person with the biggest energy field, who does the most laughing, and I go talk to them. Like,
That's smart.
Who I'm going to go interact with, right? Because, like, you know, I don't want to go talk to the grumpy guys.
Yeah, Debbie Downer. Yeah.
Right. So I really like that. Okay, spinal breathing. All right. So feet flat on the floor, and pull your bum muscle out of the way and out of the way, so you can be up on those bumpy sits bones. Rise really tall through your spine and out through the top of your head. And you're going to just use your imagination and pull air from the tip of your tailbone and go all the way up your spine, through your neck, and out the top of your head. And then exhale, top of your head, neck, spine, all the way down off of your tailbone. Now, you might find you bump into something along the way that sort of sits like a little beaver dam. If you do, just breathe down from there and just take a number of breaths to get that line really nice and clear and clean and sweet. So let's just take a few breaths like that. Inhaling up, exhaling down. One more breath. Teresa, I'm going to try something with you. Take your shoulders up around your ears and try to do that same breath. So I see how, like, there's no way, right?
No.
It stops right there. It doesn't go by. So this is a really lovely thing to do as a posture check, because if you're holding your bum muscle tight or your hips tight or your shoulders tight, you cannot get air through that spinal column. And so if you're sitting in front of the computer and you've got any body pain, just by bringing that breath up and down you, you realize what you need to relax. And then we're going to try one more thing. So close your eyes.
Okay.
And I would like you to think about something that's bugging you. Either a person or a situation, the thing in your experience right now that's bugging you the very most. And keep the thought of that in your mind and try to breathe up and down your spine. Right? So again, you see how
it's like a stuck straw.
Does not move at all. Okay, so now let's try thinking about somebody you love. So try a little kid or a dog, because they're easier to love. So think about somebody you really, really love, and then try that spinal breath. Okay, so the difference in the flow is amazing, right? And so it really helps you know what works for you and what doesn't work for you. And so, you know, just to take an easy example, like if you were deciding to go on holidays and you were thinking about going to Mexico or Hawaii, you could close your eyes, think about Mexico and breathe it up and down your spine, and then think about Hawaii and breathe it up and down your spine. And if one of them breathes easier, then that's the one you pick. If you can't breathe either of them, don't even book that holiday yet. If you can breathe both of them, it doesn't matter which one you pick. But I used to always say yes to everything and then have to back out later. And so now when people invite me to go do things, because I always think, how do I know what I want to do a month from now? Right? And so I'll say to people, yeah, can I get back to you? And that is the process that I go to, is I close my eyes and I think about going to that baby shower at the end of June, and I breathe it up and down my spine. And if I can't get it up and down my spine, I say no. And if I can get it up and down my spine, I say yes. And so it is one of my best intuitive tools, because what it does is reads your nervous system, which is way far ahead of your conscious thinking, and I just absolutely love it. It's a great tool.
Thank you so much. I'm sure everybody out there listening is going to love trying that out and being consistent with it, because it's like a version of muscle testing. So I love that. And building upon that, I feel like there is a crossover, which I know crossovers are good energetically for the brain, right? To get everything rewired.
Yes.
So the heart meditation is the one that I was wanting to share today. And I love it because it's so simple, but simple is powerful. And I think that if a person at any point in their day did a tuning in to see where they're at, and obviously you're going to try to do this when you're not driving a vehicle, right, or doing anything like that. So you find a place where you have some privacy and you have the ability, if you want, to close your eyes. And what you can do is you start with closing your eyes, if that feels right, and you place your hand on your heart. And just really, again, you want to bring in an opening for your heart and start to breathe and just breathe. And when you breathe in, every breath that you breathe in, it's breathing in love. And it's specifically like unconditional love. So you do pick, like a pet is easy if you have, it's easy to love pets unconditionally. Even if we love all the people we love in our lives, to find one that loves us back unconditionally or that we love them unconditionally it's a mixed bag, because we love in all kinds of ways. So I suggest that you pick like an animal that is just a good example. And then breathe in appreciation. Appreciation is a heartfelt value and like gratitude. And those ones are easy because we can think of every day something that we're grateful for or can appreciate. And every breath that you take in, so you breathe that in and it expands your heart, and you take that in for yourself. And when you breathe out, you can imagine that you are breathing out love to everybody and everything with gratitude for what you are grateful for in your life. And that just helps to raise your vibration very quickly. If you did it for three minutes or 5 minutes a day, it would change, I think, a lot of how you think that you can be in the world. So I encourage everybody to try these two techniques out. What we've had is a discussion here today, a beginning point, but there's so many rich things that we've shared with you. And I'm so grateful because I feel like I've had this opportunity to play and have a dialogue with a friend who's like-minded. And I'm very grateful for you being here today and for all of that you've brought. So thank you so much. And I want to invite you, Marty, please tell people how they can get a hold of you or leave us a comment if they want more of these and if they like them, what they have to say. So,
absolutely. Before I go there, I'd like to say what I really love is that all of the tools that we offered, all of the discussion that we have, I think the thing that has to be there, which you mentioned about intuition, is you have to be present in the present moment. And your heart meditation and the spinal breathing and the journaling, particularly with your non-dominant hand and going to the grocery store and picking vegetables, all of those things draw you into your present moment. And it is the place where your power and your intuition lies. And when I'm worried about something I've said or concerned about something in the future, I feel sort of rudderless, like I'm in a little wooden boat in the middle of the ocean and my rudder's broken, right? And when I actually climb myself back into this moment, that's when I feel guided and intuitive and powerful and able to pretty much handle anything that comes my way. So I like that our whole discussion completely centered around being present. I think that's so great. Where to find me? On both Instagram and Facebook, it's Body Wisdom with Marnie. And so Marnie is M-A-R-N-I-E. And I every day post something about a body system. And so we're moving through our body systems, the digestive system, and then the respiratory system. And I move with the moon cycles and offer up one tool a day for a body system on that moon cycle, so that over 12 weeks we've worked on every system in our body using breathing patterns and acupressure points and hand mudras and all sorts of different things. My background's a massage therapist and kinesiologist, so I'm very hands-on, but I also love all of the energy stuff. So that's how you can find me.
That's awesome. Thank you for that. And you can reach me at my website, teresaanderson.com, and I'm on Instagram. Check me out there. I have a downloadable workbook on an ideal day and an audio that you can listen to as well. So I just really super enjoyed this today. And who knows, maybe we'll have a different topic next time.
I'd love to. I think that was great. Thank you so much for inviting me.